Good evening, church. God is bigger than any mountain that we can but cannot see. Is that correct? Is that correct?
Yes.
So we need to be much more cheerful, because victory is ours already. We may be down, but we are not out. We are still standing. And therefore, victory is sure. Jesus was sent to the cross. And they thought by the time he was killed, that is going to be the end. First day gone, they were happy. Second day gone. But what happened on the third day? The stone was rolled away, and Jesus Christ rose, and he gave us victory. Praise the Lord. As we continue in our journey of Psalm 119, I think it's gathering momentum now. The first week, we touched on blessed and blameless, which happened to be verses 1 through 8. And verses 9 to 16, we looked at the topic, take time to be holy. And last week, the pastor preached on, we need God's words. So if I will start from where pastor stopped, and we begin to look from verse 22. The psalmist says, remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept your testimonies. Princes also sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates on your statutes. Your testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. You could see from there that it seems things are going down. So, no wonder when we get to verse 25, it says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My soul clings to the dust. It's a metaphorical language where he used a strong image of the dust. So what is the dust? Dust is associated with death. So a dust can be said to be a place of death. It can be said to be a place of money. It can be said to be a place of humiliation. It can be said to be a place where hope is lost. It could also be a place of loneliness. It is the peak of crisis, where you feel your soul clings to the dust. It is similar to what the Lord showed Ezekiel in Ezekiel 37, which is nothing but the valley of dry bones. Dry bones. No spirit in them again. So it is a place where your energy, understanding, wisdom, financial power, influence, networking, etc., all of these fail you. And it seems nothing is working. It is a near-death experience. Though he was alive, yet his soul feels dead. Charles Spurgeon said, whatever was the cause of his complaint, it was no surface evil. It's not something you can see on the surface. It's a thing of the mind, of the soul. But an affair of his inmost spirit is so cleaved to the dust, and it was not a casual and accidental falling into the dust. Rather, it's a continuous and powerful tendency of cleaving to the dust. That is the position the psalmist found himself. Today, there are many situations that we face that makes our souls also cling to the dust. There are so many crises. It could be health issues, pathological health issues. It could be cancer. It could be anything in the area of health. And it could even be mental health, where we have anxiety, where there is depression, where there is stress. This may be caused by marital failure, career frustration. It may even be financial, whereby you are loaded with debts. You may be a victim of rape. It could be as a result of the loss of loved ones. And it could be as a result of domestic violence. But whatever may make you cling to the dust, I have a good news for you. Our God is bigger than every problem. Our God is bigger than every crisis. So it is natural to feel like clinging to the dust, especially when you feel the weight of the crisis. I love the song we sang earlier. It says, what a friend we have in Jesus. The third stanza says, are we weak and heavy laden? Heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care. By the time you look at situations, but the third line says, precious Savior, still our refuge. You are not the only one. The psalmist found himself in that situation. I can tell you it's not a palatable situation. When you are faced with such crisis, it's like death just come. But the good news is that it's what the psalmist says, revive me, refresh me according to your word. If someone has a cardiac arrest, what do you need immediately? A defibrillator. And what does it do? It attempts to what? Inject life back to that person. They can use the word resuscitation, But it seems in us reviving. You are bringing life back to that person. And this is what the Word of God does. If you find yourself in that situation, if I find myself in that situation, it's not too good to be there for a very long time. Where do you need to go to? To the Word of God. The Word of God gives life. It gives hope. It restores hope. The psalmist asks for life and vitality to be restored. And he asks that it happens according to your word. This shows that revival comes from a sense of spiritual need and lowliness. True revival, in the biblical sense, is marked by a shamed awareness of sin and an urgency to confess and make things right. Psalm 51 stresses this. He said, restore me the joy of my what? Salvation. One would have thought the psalmist will ask for comfort or oppression. No, he didn't. He didn't ask for that. He knew that there would come out of, this will come out of increased life. Comfort or oppression will come out of increased life. And therefore, he sought that blessing, which is the root of rest. And that blessing is from the Word of God. Maybe because I'm in Spurgeon's College, there are so many quotations of Charles Spurgeon that I will be giving you now. And I'm going to refer to another quotation of his. When he says, when a person is depressed in spirit, weak and bent towards the ground, the main thing is to increase his stamina and put more life into him. Then his spirit will be revived. So according to your word, shows that God uses his word to bring revival. He uses his word to bring strength. If we look very quickly at Zechariah 4:7. Before that, let's take verse 6. So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. So it tells you, if you're in that position, it's not an issue that can be resolved by your power, or by your might, or by your understanding. The scripture says, by my spirit, says the Lord. And it now gave them the assurance, just like the song we have just finished singing. Verse 7. It now says, who are you, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? What shall happen? You shall become what? Clean. This is how big the mountain is. But the word of God is saying, you shall be what? Become plain. Which means you shall be leveled. And it shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. The word of God brings grace. But many a times, we do think we have to walk in order to receive grace. Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is unearned favor. The word of God brings grace when it seems everything is hopeless. According to thy word, revive me, refresh me. That is what the psalmist said when he was clinging to the dust. If we look at verses 26 to 27, he says, I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. So the question is, if you want to get refreshed, if you want to get revived, how? Verses 26 to 27 explained it. I have declared my ways. I have declared my sins, my naughty ways, my wicked ways, my wandering ways, my backsliding ways, all my concerns, in way of humble petition to the Lord. I have declared my ways. Nothing have I hidden from you. I have come naked. Nothing hidden. More often than not, it is the first time we come to believe Christ that we declare our ways. But here, the psalmist is telling us, it should be a continuous exercise, declaring your ways. He said, I have declared my ways. It's a sort of relationship thing. I could remember when I wanted to get married, I called my wife. Everything that she should know, I told her. So that nobody goes there to say, do you know this about Jide? So even if you told her, she'll say, yes. So I went there with that openness. And this is exactly what the psalmist did. He was very, very open with God. Very, very open. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. He said, make me understand the way of your precepts. You know, it is one thing to have knowledge. It is another thing to have the understanding of the knowledge. And when you apply knowledge in the way of the understanding, what then do they say you are? They say you are wise. Then you get wisdom. Because wisdom is the application of knowledge, which you thoroughly understood. The psalmist believe it is not just about having the knowledge, which means it only stays there, but the understanding. When you understand a theory, you will appreciate it. You will be able to differentiate. And you will be able to do a proper interpretation. and assimilation of the theory. The psalmist is saying here, it's not just about the knowledge of the word of God alone that I need. I also need what? Understanding. Understanding. About a fortnight ago, I told you something. I said, we should chew the word of God. And yesterday when I was at the college, somebody gave me a very, very good scripture to back that up. Let's look at Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah 15, 16. Jeremiah verse 15, chapter 15, verse 16. It says, your words were found, and I ate them. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. When you have the knowledge of the word, and you have the understanding of the word, then you can meditate. And after you have meditated, what do you become? A wise man. A wise man. And the psalmist went further. He said, make me understand the way of your precepts, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. So it's more or less like, yes, I have told you everything about me, God. So I need you to do what? Teach me. Tell me about you too. And how do you know about the Lord? Through his word. Through his word. He said, teach me thy statutes. Through his word. I have told you everything about me. I have not hidden anything from you, Lord. I have come as I am to you. So, Lord, if I have done this, teach me. Restore to me. Teach me your word. Because it will eventually be the key to open closed doors. It will be the key to navigate this clumsy world. And in verse 28, it says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. The heaviness brought about by the feeling of no strength, of no stability within him. And he's again re-emphasizing it. Strengthen me according to your word. What does Isaiah 40 say? Isaiah 40, 31. Uncle Tide quoted this in one of our meetings. And he said, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. So, eagles soar. They don't fly, you know. And he says, they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That is what the psalmist was asking for. Strengthen me so that I can mount up with wings as eagles. I can soar. I'm not a zoologist, but I was told And I think it is true. They said, eagles, when there is storm, what they do is they go higher. So which means they're saying, God, even if there is storm, make me to go higher. So which means I will not even see the storm. It could be there physically, but you are going higher. I want to mantle with wings as eagles. I want to walk and not faint. I want to run and not be weary. That was his prayer. And this can only come through the application of the Word of God. So this is telling us, if it is only on Sundays we open our Bible, whether digitally or the physical one, we are not helping ourselves. Go to the lawyers. Is it only the day they are going to court they will open their books? I'm sure they will fail woefully. Even the doctors. Have you ever gone to your GP and you said something to him and he brought out a book to check? Professionals, they believe something in what? Continuous learning. Same thing with us as Christians. The application of the Word of God, for the Word of God to stay in, it's not going to be Sunday medicine. We need to read to understand. We get the knowledge, we understand it, and we begin to apply it. Verses 29 to 30, he says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. One of the sins that David battled with was lies. If you check 1 Samuel 21, verse 2, you'll see there. Again, if you check 1 Samuel 27, verse 8, you will see there where he told lies about 3 or 4 lies all within the same chapter. He battled with it. And many of us, we believe now that lies is nothing, just lie, white lies, yes, it's nothing. But here the psalmist said, remove from me the way of lying. So you could see, he came to the Lord without hiding anything. He knew he wasn't ready to give excuses. Just as I am without one plea, remove from me the way of lying. You have the sin that you know you easily fall. I know my own. And remember, I said it about 2 weeks ago via research. When you continuously fall to temptation, it becomes part of the brain what? Chemistry. It is recorded. And before you know what is happening, it becomes a habit. And a habit is very, very difficult to what? To break. A habit is difficult to break. So he went to the Lord. Lord, you are the only one that can help me here. I'm in trouble. Because I can lie easily. To someone else, it could be adultery. To some another, it could be lack of love. I have once said it here. I was in the church. In fact, an assistant music director. Yet, I battled with anger. Anger? And not only with anger. If you offend me, I must do my own back. I used to be a football player. So you step on me and you say, oh, sorry, we shake hands. Not me. I will give you a very good whacking. Then you know that, yes, that is how it feels. So I don't have any spirit of forgiveness at all. Forgiveness, it wasn't part of me. And yet I go to church. To some, it was anger. It could be anger. To some, it could be not talking to the person that offends them. You've offended me, and therefore I will not. You just continue to keep what? Keep malice. And you can see. I've once told you, the pastor of my church offended me. And I kept malice for 6 months. You can imagine, assistant music director, how will you not work with the pastor? But yet we won't talk. If he needs to communicate with me, either by note or I send somebody to him, and yet I was in the church. If I had died, of course, people will come out, oh, he's very good. He was good. Assistant music director. But, he says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. Again, grace coming in. Grace, 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 grace. We are what we are by the mercy and grace of God. If we will remove grace and mercy, we are done. We are completely done. It says, I have chosen the way of the truth. Your judgments I have laid before me. He has chosen the way of the truth. What is the way of the truth? So if the Bible says, don't do this, you will not do it. Even when princes decide to gather against him. So the question is, who would you rather obey? The princes or God? But for him, he has chosen the way of the truth. And verse 31 says, I will cling to your testimonies. O Lord, do not put me to shame. We can see the progression here. At the beginning, he said, I will cling to the dust. But having been revived by the word of God, having declared his ways unto God, having asked God to teach him his statutes, having decided to go with the truth, what is happening there now? It's now clinging to testimonies. And he says, oh Lord, do not put me to shame. It's now clinging to the word of God. In the beginning, okay, let me just read verse 32. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. At the beginning, he was laid low. But now, he is now joyfully running. So, which means the strength has been added. He's now clinging to testimony. And he believes by the enlargement of heart, yes, he will be able to demonstrate dependence upon God. And he will be able to move and do greater things for God. His confidence is in what God will do through his word. The secret of Christian energy and success is a heart enlarged in the love of God. So if you're feeling down, I've brought you good news. You are not out. You are still on your feet. God has not finished with you yet. Declare your ways. Understand God's statutes. Choose the way of the truth and cling to his words. When you cling to God's words, I think Joel 3:10, even when it says, the latter part of Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I am what? I am strong. Yes, physically everything shows you are weak, but you are not confessing that negative. But you are doing what? Confessing the word of God. Amen.